Well, grab your Bible, open it up to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to be in chapter 3. This morning, we're talking about building a life that lasts. Building a life that lasts. Some people live their lives just to make a living. Day in, day out, that's all they're doing is they're living their lives just to make a living. Trying to work hard to get the money to pay for their home and their food so that they can rest and get the energy, so that they can get back up the next morning and do it all over again. They build up their lives and they hopefully will have enough saved up so that they can rest and relax in their latter years and live a cushy, comfortable life. But as the people of God, we don't just live our lives to make a living. Christians live our lives to build God's kingdom. And there's a difference. There's a purpose. There's a passion. There's a power that's moving on the inside of us, to where we're not just living our lives in an aimless cycle that just builds up something for earth. No, now we are looking to the future and building the kingdom of God for eternity. And as Christians, we shouldn't be looking to the things here on earth, but we should be looking to the things in heaven. You know, the first type of life has a reward on this earth. Yeah, it does have a reward. People can live a comfortable life here. But the type of life that we live as Christians has a reward that goes on into eternity. Let me show it to you in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse number 10 and read down through verse number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 10 says this, "According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it." Now remember, this morning we're talking about building a life that lasts. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth and he talks about his job description. This is what he does. As a wise master builder, he has laid the foundation of Jesus Christ and he has gone and planted churches and laid down this foundation in people's lives. Now that was Apostle Paul's job, but our job as Christians is to build on that foundation which was laid in our lives. Let me show it to you. Let's read on in verse number 11. "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So the foundation of a Christian's life is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he is the solid rock and that when we build our lives on him, it doesn't matter what comes against us, that house that we build on the rock will stand. All other ground that we could build on is sinking sand, is sifting sand. It's going to be washed away with the waves. And Jesus said, "Great will be the fall of that house that is not built on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ." So Paul said, I have laid the foundation as a wise master builder. I've come along and I've done my part. And now take heed how you build your life. Let's look at verse number 12. It says, "Now if anyone builds on this foundation," speaking of Jesus, "with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw," verse 13, "each one's work will become clear." That means that we're going to know what it is that we've built with, whether it's gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw. "Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it." Notice in verse number 13, the word day has a capital D on it. That's speaking of a specific day known as the day of the Lord. When Jesus returns, the Bible says the judgment starts in the house of God. Our works will become clear on the day of the Lord. How is that going to happen? Look at the day will declare it because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Now, if we take just a basic level of understanding of what's going on here, we've got some building materials, gold, silver, and precious stones. Let's say you take fire and you put it on gold, silver, and precious stones. What's going to happen? Nothing, right? Just going to hit it, burn out the impurities maybe. And what you got after the fire is gone is you have gold, silver, and precious stones. However, take a look at wood, hay, and straw, or stubble, as some translations say. What happens when you hit wood, hay, and straw with fire? It's burned up, and all that you're left with is an ash heap at the end of it. So the day of the Lord is going to declare it because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Verse number 14, "If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, gold, silver, and precious stones, he will receive a reward." Wow, that's good news. That means that when the fire of the Lord hits your work, what you've done here on the earth, if it remains, you're going to receive a reward. And isn't it amazing that now we're on the other side of death, we're on the other side of eternity, now we are in eternity, and we get a reward, and that reward is an eternal reward. We're going to have that reward with us for the rest of our lives, on into eternity. But look at verse number 15. It says, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So that means that the wood, hay, and the straw, when the fire hits it and it's devoured, it says that the person whose life was built like that will suffer loss. It'll be burned up. There will be nothing left. But it says he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. Now, I got good news for you about this verse. Because if you think about it, the people that have their homes, maybe they have their homes, we're living in California, fire season every year. We know about it. Each and every year, there's fires that rage through California. And a lot of times those homes built right up on, you know, the ridgeline, they're right up next to the hills and stuff. It seems like those homes are always just getting burnt up. And the fire comes over the side of the hill and comes down and takes their house out. But have you ever noticed when the news cameras and the people go out and the reporters go and interview the people, maybe they're out of school or some sort of refuge, and they're talking to the people that's homes were burnt up. What do they say? They say, you know, how do you feel? What's going on? What's happening in your mind right now? And they say, we're just thankful. Because even though our house was lost and all of our possessions, that's okay. We still have our lives. The good news is that the people that suffer loss in eternity that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, even though what they built, they've suffered loss, yes, and that's a sad thing, but they come out with their lives. They're still saved and they still get to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. That's good news. Now, the difference is the type of building materials that they used. I'm going to make a statement to you, and I want you to get a hold of this. Where we get our materials from determines how we build and the lasting effect it has on eternity. Let me say that to you again. Where we get our materials from determines how we build and the lasting effect on eternity. So the question is, where are you getting your building materials from? What is it that you are doing in your life to get things into your life that you can build into eternity? Are you getting your building materials from the television? Are you getting your building materials from the internet? Are you getting your building materials from your friends on Facebook? Come on, somebody. Where are you getting your building materials from? Or are you getting your building materials from the things of God, from the Word of God, from your times with God, from your prayer, from the lives of godly counsel and wisdom? Where is it that you're getting your building materials from? This morning, think about it for a second. Wood, hay, and straw. We all know the things that we've built into our lives that aren't going to have a lasting effect on eternity. You know, I know personally, my TV time is going to get burnt up just like that. Bang, it's gone. You know, the hours that I spent in front of the television, I'm pretty sure will not stand the test of fire. Now, the problem is not with watching TV or watching movies or, you know, those sorts of things or going on Facebook or any of that kind of thing. But the problem is when that's all that you do. You hear what I'm saying? Because we are building our lives, and we know that in a natural house, there are many materials used. Wood is one of the things that frames houses. But you know what? We are building our lives and framing our lives with something better. We're framing our lives with gold, silver, and precious stones because we know that they're going to stand the test of eternity. This morning, I'd like to give you a couple of things, three quick things that we're going to take a look at that are lasting materials. These are things that you can build into your life that you know that in eternity are going to have a lasting effect and will stand the test of fire and will endure, and you will receive a reward. Is there anybody other than myself that wants to receive a reward when you get to heaven? I mean, I don't want to just be saved. I want to get to heaven. I want the fire to hit that, and I want to see the reward on the other side of that. Amen? A couple of lasting materials we're going to talk about today. The first one is faith. Faith. Isn't it amazing that just by believing God, by believing His Word, by praying and believing that you receive those things that you've asked for, by standing in faith and enduring, that you're building for eternity? This is something that God's called us to do as Christians anyways. And yet, this is something that is building our lives for eternity. Let me show it to you in the book of 1 Peter. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. It's towards the back. 1 Peter chapter 1. Right after Hebrews and James, you'll find 1 Peter. If you hit Revelation or Maps, turn around. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to take a look at verse number 6 and verse number 7. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7 says this, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials." Now stop right there for a second. How many of you going through a trial? How many of you got problems, pressures, things going on in your life? He says, you greatly rejoice in this. Now, that doesn't make sense to our natural mind, but what is he talking about? Let's read on and find out what's going on. Verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So that means that when you're going through problems, when you're going through trials and pressures, that the testing of your faith proves something, glory, honor, and praise, which is worth much more than gold at the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means when Jesus is revealed on the day of the Lord and the fire tests you and tests your faith, the problems and the trials that you went through, your faith is going to endure into eternity. That's good news. That means that the problems and the pressures and the trials that you've been going through are building something in you that's going to last for eternity. You know, sometimes we cry to God and we bawl and we squall, we bellyache, and we say, God, why does everything have to be hard? Anybody feel that way other than me? I mean, it's like this is ridiculous. Does really everything have to be hard? I mean, I've been dealing with this company on something for my home, and I've been calling them week in, week out. I get a letter from them saying one thing. I call them, they say another thing. I talk to different departments. The right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. And I'm thinking, why does this have to be so hard? Why can't it just be easy? Why can't I just pray and God opens up the floodgates and just lets it dump out? I mean, God, come on. And yet God is saying, child, raise up, believe me for something, get into your word, pray, get in faith, because when you get in faith and when you believe God, now you're not just building here on earth, you're not just building up a reward on earth, but now you are building and getting yourself a reward in eternity. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. A couple of you guys are getting this morning, but your faith, the problems and the pressures that you're going through. That's why the Bible tells us to take up, raise up the shield of faith. That's part of your spiritual armor. And this shield, this shield of faith, worth much more than gold. When you raise that up in your life, what are you doing? It's extinguishing the fiery darts that are coming against you each and every day. The devil's coming against you. The flesh is rising up against you. And now you are standing in faith. You're believing God for something. You've got a promise. You've been praying. And now your faith, when it is tested in eternity, will endure. I like what Thomas A. Kempis said. He said, the devil does not sleep, nor is the flesh yet dead. Therefore, you must never cease your preparation for battle, because on the right and on the left are enemies who never rest. We have got to believe God, because there are pressures all the time, pressures from within, pressures from without. There's things coming against us. The flesh is battling against the spirit. The devil's coming against us. You've got problems on the job, problems with your kids, problems financially. Hey, praise God. Rejoice in it, because you know that your faith is going to stand and endure on the day of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll give myself an amen for that one. Praise God. So the first building material that we know that is built to last into eternity is our faith. Second thing this morning, building materials that are going to last, lasting materials that we can build into our life, is our words. Our words. You know, the Bible tells us in Malachi chapter 3 that when the righteous speak to one another, that in heaven there is a record made of our words. That just blows my mind when I think about it, because what an incredible statement that is, to think that my words, the things that I have spoken to other people, will be recorded and will stand in eternity. You know, about a week or two ago, my wife and I, we were asleep, and I woke up and I started to pray, and my wife woke up and she realized I was up and was praying, and so she got up and she prayed with me. And after we prayed, we had a great conversation. I mean, it's the middle of the night. It's like 1 a.m. and we're having this conversation. We're all into it, talking to each other, talking about our kids, talking about our future, talking about the Word of God, encouraging one another. And we had one of those conversations that, you know, I know personally, I'm probably going to remember for the rest of my life, because it was just one of those moments that we had together where we connected and you know, we had a God connection at the same time. And so we're just talking to each other and having this great conversation. Afterwards, we went back to sleep and woke up the next morning, and we're still encouraged, still excited. But I had this crazy thought that, wow, you know what? That conversation at 1 a.m., right there between Pastor Dan and Pastor Jess, middle of the night, was recorded in heaven. And our words are in eternity, written down. Heaven has a record of what we've said. Now, that's an amazing thought on the one hand, but it's also a scary thought on the other hand. You're laughing because you know where I'm going, huh? Because what else have we spoken that's being recorded? What else have we said that we're going to take before the Lord in the day of judgment and fire is going to test it? Gossip, slander, malice, idle words. Jesus said for every idle word that a man speaks, he will go before the judgment for. And so the words of our mouth, we have to be very careful about what we say and what we speak. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. See, you can speak words of encouragement, words that build, words that strengthen, or you can speak discouraging words and disparaging words, words that tear down, words that bring death. Now, the most important word that you're going to speak out of your mouth is the word of God. I should have got a bigger amen than that. The most important word that you will speak in your lifetime is the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, the word of the Lord that comes out of your mouth. You need to speak the word of God over your situation, over your life, over your friends, and over your family. You need to build yourself up and strengthen yourself. Bible says in Psalms chapter 12, verse 6, that the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver, tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Isn't that outstanding? The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Your faith is more precious than gold, and the words of the Lord are like silver. This is something that you can build into your life in eternity. Each time that you take the word of God and you speak it audibly out of your mouth and declare it in your life, you are building something that is lasting in your life. I like what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 20. It says, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. As the righteous people of God, we should be speaking and declaring the word of the Lord out of our mouth and building something in our lives for eternity. Not just idle talk, not just speaking to hear ourselves talk, but no, now we speak with purpose, we speak with determination. You know, the church of God should be the most encouraging place on the planet. Should be the place where we come because we know we're going to get filled up. We know we're going to get built up. We know that when we see other people, we have an opportunity to speak into their lives, build them up and say, hey, you look good today. I'm glad that you came to church. Hey, you can do it. I know you can. By the grace of God, all things are possible, and we can start to build one another up in faith, encourage one another, and believe God together. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. That means that when you speak a word in season to somebody, that it's like apples of gold in settings of silver. The word of the Lord, when you believe it, your faith is more precious than gold, and that tongue of the righteous is like choice silver, apples of gold in settings of silver. You are now declaring something, speaking something, building somebody up, and when you speak the right word at the right time, that's something that's building your life for eternity. Amen. Lasting materials, things that we can build into our life that we know are going to go on with us into eternity. First one we talked about was faith. Second thing that we talked about is our words. And the most important word you're going to speak out of your mouth is the word of God. Third and final one that we're going to talk about today is soul winning. Soul winning. Did you know that the saved souls of men and women that we win here on the earth are going to go on with us into eternity? Now, obviously, they're not ours. They belong to the Lord. People are God's when they're born again. But the Bible tells us very clearly that there is something that we can do to bring people with us into eternity. We should be a soul-winning church. The Church of the Living God is an organism. It's a living organism. It's a growing organism. It's breathing. It's expanding. It's growing. It's renewing and replenishing. Just like the human body replenishes the fluids and replenishes the bone and replenishes every part of the body is constantly moving, constantly growing, constantly doing something. The Church of the Living God is a living, moving, breathing organism, and we should be growing and expanding and bringing more people into the kingdom all the time. We need to plunder hell and take people. Like, give me a rescue mission right at the gates of hell, snatching people out of the fire, turning people around from their wickedness and bringing them to God, bringing them to repentance, telling them about what the Lord has done in our lives. Listen, if you've gone to the Rock for any period of time, you know how to give an altar call. Because you have heard it enough times. You know what I'm saying? Because we give the altar call every service. Sometimes people get mad and say, why are you going to give the same altar call over and over and over? I mean, there's no variation. No, I'm bored. Well, listen, quit being bored. Start praying for people to come into the kingdom. And listen up, because you're going to get some training on how to give an altar call. That's why we do that. So that when you're at work on your break. Notice I said on your break. Okay? Because when you're on the clock, you belong to your earthly master, and you're supposed to serve them as unto the Lord. So if they're paying you to do a job, they're not paying you to be an evangelist. Okay? So you do your job and you evangelize with your life by being a better worker than everybody else. Okay? So that on your breaks, when you're sitting there around the break table, and you look at your coworker and you say, hey, if you were to die tonight, where would you end up? Would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Just answer the question in your heart. No, no, be the answer, but you and God. Am I right? Praise God. See, you know how to give an altar call. You know how to save souls. Because that's the wisdom of God. God wants you to learn these things so that you can go out and do that. Listen to this. There are roughly 15,000 people that come through this church on a weekly basis. That's a lot of people. Can you imagine if it wasn't just one or two or three people giving an altar call each week, but 15,000 altar calls going on in the Inland Empire all around the place? Hello. This place would be in revival. We'd have people lining up out the doors, down the street, waiting to get in. Because not because we gave the altar call, who cares if we did it, but because each and every single one of the soul-winning people of God were building for eternity, building something that lasts into eternity. Now, you had faith like gold, you had words like silver, and now you've got people. You're there in 1 Peter still? Turn to chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to take a look at verse number 4 and verse number 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God. This is speaking of Jesus. Notice the capital H on the word him. Chosen by God and precious. The Bible says that Jesus is a precious stone. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And when we build our lives, we look to Jesus and we line up our lives with that cornerstone and make sure that we're in line with what he says. We don't care. We're not lining up with what the world says. No, we're lining up with what God says. Chosen by God and precious. Jesus is a precious stone. But look at verse number 5. You also. What does that mean? That means in the same way that Jesus is a precious stone to God, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are a precious stone. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 2, speaking about the New Jerusalem. Listen to what it says. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now we know that the bride adorned for her husband is the bride of Christ coming for Jesus Christ, who is the bridegroom. And so coming down out of heaven from God is the bride of Christ adorned for her husband. Then in verse number 10 and 11, it says, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So we know this is the bride of Christ. We know that this is the church of the living God, the body of Christ coming down out of heaven from God. And look at what it says. Having the glory of God, verse 11, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And then he goes on and he talks about the foundations being adorned with many precious stones, and he talks about all these different stones, different in color, different in size, different in variation of clarity in the way that they appear, just like the nations of the earth differ in their glory. Listen, you and I have a mission from God to go out and to save as many souls as we can and bring as many people into the kingdom as we can. One of my favorite scenes from a movie, now this might be something that'll go on into eternity, watching this movie. Not really, but anyways, told the story of Oscar Schindler. He was a man who was a wealthy man, and during his lifetime, he bought Jewish people who were entrapped by the Germans during the Second World War and brought them out of the prisons and the camps, the death camps that they were going to in Auschwitz. And at the end of his life, he was fleeing the German captivity himself, and he realized that he still had a ring on his finger, and he said, this ring, with this ring, I could have bought 12 more people. And he looked at his car, and he said, with this car, I could have bought hundreds of Jews. I could have bought more people. I could have saved more people. You and I, when we get to heaven, let's not look at the things that we've had in our lives and see the fire of the Lord hit them and suffer loss, but rather let's see them and say, oh, I've spent it all. I gave it all. I did everything that I could. And now there's not just one or two stones sitting there, but there is a ton of people there. Man, when I get to heaven and the fire hits my life, I want to see a crowd. And I'm not just talking about threes a crowd. I'm talking about a mob of people just standing around because of something that I did while on the earth. I had an incredible experience here when I first started pastoring at The Rock. This was about 4 or 5 years ago. I can't really remember the exact date. But we were having a night. I'd just become a pastor. And we were having a worship night, and I was right over here, and Pastor Jim was on one side of me, Dr. Kobernick on the other side of me, and, you know, we're worshiping the Lord. And I could even remember some of the songs that were going on. We had this great experience with God. It was a very spiritual time, very, very wonderful night in the presence of God. And coming towards the end of the night, Pastor Jim leans over, and he says, hey, Dan, do you want to give the altar call? And I was like, you know, me, you know, kind of shaking a little bit. But I'm one of those guys that, you know, you never say no to your boss. And especially you don't say no to your pastor, you know. So I was like, yes, sir, you know, I would love to do it. And so he hands me a microphone. I get all strapped up and get ready to go. At the end of the worship set, Pastor David does his signature move. He looks over and gives the head nod. It's time. So I took a deep breath, shook it off, said, all right, let's go, God. You know, walked up here, gave an altar call. I don't know, you know, what I said. I don't know what it was like or anything like that. But I do know that probably about 14 people responded. I was excited. People got saved. Now, after that night, I got down and, you know, I was like, thank you, God. That was great. That was a great experience. And I went on my way. A couple months later, I was here at the church on a Friday night getting ready for shift, and I walked into the foyer of the youth auditorium, and there was a couple people standing around talking and doing different things, and I was talking to somebody else there in the youth foyer. All of a sudden, this guy turns around and he goes, hey, you! I said, me? Yeah, you. I said, what? He goes, I got saved under you. Now, I looked at this guy, and he was a young kid, probably in his teens. He was there, you know, with the youth program and that sort of a thing. And I'd never seen this kid before in my life. And I'm thinking, you know, I haven't preached in youth. And, you know, who is this guy? You know, I've never seen him. If you would have lined up people, you know, and said, who goes to The Rock? I would have probably not picked him in the lineup. I'd have picked everybody else, you know, but not him. Because I really honestly had never seen this guy before. And I said, when did you get saved under me? You know, like, when did that happen? I know you didn't come to shift, you know. He goes, no, it was at that night that they did all music, the worship night. At the end of it, you got up and you gave an altar call, and I responded. And I've been here ever since. It was awesome. It was awesome. I encouraged him, and I told him, you know, God's got a great plan for your life, and stay in there with God, and God's going to do some great things in your life. And went on and did the service that night. But it wasn't until I was driving home in my car, like a week or two later, on my way home, that I realized what was going on. That because of my obedience to come up here and do something that God had called me to do and to be a soul winner, that God was allowing me to take that young man with me into eternity. Praise God. One more verse. We'll close with this. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, turn there with me in your Bibles. I'll read it to you in the New King James, and then we'll put it up on the overhead for you in the New International Version. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I want to take a look at verse number 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? Now let me show it to you in the New International Version. It says, for what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Listen, when Jesus comes, that is the day of the Lord. And he says, what is our crown? Well, what do you make crowns out of? Gold, silver, precious stones. He says, what is that crown? Look at the end of the verse. Is it not you? The people that you bring with you into eternity are going to be the crown of joy and rejoicing in the presence of our Lord when he comes. Come on, let's bring as many people as we can to heaven with us when we go on into eternity. Hallelujah. Three things that you learned today. lasting materials that you can build in your life that will last forever and ever, that will stand the test of fire when the day of the Lord comes. First one is our faith. Believing God, standing up, that's more precious than gold. Second one is our words. The word of the Lord is the most important word that you're going to speak out of your mouth. It's like choice silver. And then finally, soul winning. Saving the souls of men and women on the earth like precious stones in the presence of our God. Come on, if you got something from the Lord today, let's give Jesus a great big praise. Hallelujah! Woo! Glory to God.